As you said, you've been writing since your teens, and you writ your first published work was written at the age of 21 or 22. Back then, José Saramago was at the height of his celebrity, with a Nobel Prize waiting for him in Stockholm, and acclaim from even some of the more conservative critics, José Saramago being almost Stalinist, as he said, put it. This is quite an achievement in Portugal. Now is a strange time to be writing in Portugal, with Saramago having passed away earlier this year, and a noticeable dearth of translations from English into English of the works of other great Portuguese authors still alive. Luís Peixoto is only one of them. There is also António Lobo Antunes, who is incredibly difficult to read, as we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And there's Lídia Jorge, etc. These are big names, and they're not easily found in translation in the Anglo-Saxon world. There is something difficult, reputedly, about Portuguese literature that makes it difficult for such literature to find an audience in England, in America, so that even texts like Blank Gaze, which has been doing quite well, they're still quite hard. There's something that there is a reputation of difficulty. Do you think that such a reputation might make it harder for Portuguese literature to find a big readership in Anglophone countries?
That's a bit hard for me to answer, yeah. And I'm not sure if it's a question that I should answer, right. In the sense that when writing, I have the obligation of trying to be true to something that goes beyond that. For a start, I believe that maybe there is something in the Portuguese language that gives the temptation to work it in a way that might be difficult to translate into other languages. The title of this small text is a good example of that, which is a title which is virtually untranslatable to any language that I know. Morreste-me, it's really... I mean, there is in the audience Inês, that we have been talking before, and she's Portuguese. And I have to look at Inês because you understand me, don't you, Inês? It's really difficult to translate. I'm sorry to exclude you all on this matter, but it's really difficult because it is... You also understand.
Yeah.
It is... You died, but reflexive. It's difficult to describe.
It's a very idiosyncratic way of putting it in Portuguese, even.
Yeah.
So that translating it...
Yeah.
You'd have to have the context to see why it's a bit strange.
I believe that is not only something that is part of the nature of the language itself, but it also has to do with the tradition of Portuguese literature, especially in the 20th century, because it's impossible to write in Portugal, being it writing namely poetry, but also prose and fiction, novels even, ignoring authors like Fernando Pessoa, for example. Fernando Pessoa, for those that are not familiar with, was an author that wrote using many names that we call heteronyms. Each one of those names refers to a whole body of work with completely different characteristics. So Fernando Pessoa, and Pessoa in Portuguese means person, is in the end, it is not one author, he is so many, and he is so important in Portuguese literature that it makes no sense to write in Portugal ignoring his work. And after Pessoa, there are a whole collection of other names that are very important. Most of them are not as well known abroad, but, and I'm referring especially to poets that are very important in Portuguese literature, that have influenced not only poets, but everybody that writes in Portugal. And I think that shows in the way narratives are built, in the way choices are made. But also, I think that the author doesn't have to be concerned on how it will be translated. That's a concern that the translator must have. Because matéria-prima, how do you say that?
Prime matter. prime material.
The material that you're using, if you're writing in Portuguese, is Portuguese language. If it translates well into English or into any other language, that is something that's a noise that should not be in the author's head while writing. I believe in translation, and I believe that every text can be translated. But of course, translation is by its own nature something that has an identity of its own. The same text in different languages remains the same text, and at the same time, it is not the same text. Translation is a paradox in this sense, but it's okay. We should get used to live with paradoxes, because they are everywhere, and we cannot avoid paradoxes. We should welcome paradoxes, because sometimes we are paradoxes, nós próprios.
Yeah, we ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as a Portuguese novelist and writing in the wake of José Saramago's death,
mm-hmm.
you are at least in the eyes of, again, like an English-speaking reader, you're writing a sort of vacuum, because no other writer from Portugal at the moment has attained the kind of celebrity status that Saramago had.
Mm-hmm.
You are known as one of Portugal's most talented young novelists. There was a prize created in under your name to give awards to people who are gifted young writers, especially. So, in Portugal, especially, I mean, you're bringing a new interest in literature about in Portugal, because more and more young people are reading, and this is something that you'll find in newspapers, for instance. They'll say, "Hey, people are reading again," you know, which is a nice thing to hear in your country.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're primarily interested in the process of writing itself, though? I mean, that's what you're saying. You're more interested in the actual writing of it, not the translation. But you did say that you do believe in translation. Now, are you unhappy, or are you happy with certain translations of your texts in French? I think you said one French edition was not very...
Of this same text.
Of this same text was not particularly impressive to you.
Well, of course, I have a critical judgment, and if I have any knowledge of the language, I have an opinion about it. Still, I only take part in the translation when the translator asks me. If the translator doesn't put me any question, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, he emails me all sorts of questions, I'm also okay with it, depending on the time that I have at the moment. As far as Saramago is concerned, it's funny in a way, because while I was writing this text, Morreste-me, I was living in Coimbra, which is this city in Portugal, very famous for its university, which is, I believe, 700 years
700
old.
Years.
The university, and I was living there, and that was before Saramago got the Nobel Prize. It was in a year before that. It was in 97. He got the Nobel Prize in 98, and I remember that he did a reading and a talk, and in the end he signed some of his books, and I took one that in English is called Baltazar in Blimunda. In Portuguese is called Memorial do Convento, which is a completely different title, by the way. It would be something like Convent Memorial.
Memorial, yes.
Yeah. But well, in English it's Baltazar in Blimunda. And I remember that I went there to have my book signed, and he asked me my name, and I said José Luis Peixoto. And he wrote something, gave me the book, and a few meters away, I opened the book and I read, and it said, "To José Luis Pacheco," which is a completely... Pacheco and Peixoto, they're similar in sound, but they're completely different names in Portuguese. And still today I have this book with a different name. And that was really interesting, because 4 years after that, I got with Blank Gaze an award called José Saramago, which is a very important award. Actually, it's the most important award that one of my books ever got. And I met him. That was in 2001. And it's interesting, because back in 97, I never imagined that I would meet José Saramago. And because he was an author that I started reading still in the 80s, there was one novel that one I'm not sure if it's published in English. In Portuguese it's called Levantados do Chão, picked up from the ground.
It's not published in English yet.
It's usually considered the first novel that he wrote in this period, in his second period of publishing, and that made him what he is today, because José Saramago published one first novel in the 50s, then he published some poetry in the 60s, and only in the late 70s, he started publishing when he was already 60-something, and he built this work that made him, that took him to the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
It was not because of what he wrote in the 50s or in the 60s, it was all because of this last, I don't know, 12, 14 novels. And that novel in particular is a novel that deals with this region called Alentejo, which is a region in the south interior of Portugal. And that's where I was born. And that's the region that is portrayed in this novel, Blank Gaze, also. And so Saramago, for me, started as someone who represented that, someone who wrote about this region that I knew very well because I was born there and I lived there until I was 18. And that influenced me a lot. And books have this thing, which is, you are so, it's again a paradox, because you are so close to the author when you're reading it, because he's sending those words, those thoughts, those ideas, those images in this part of you that is so intimate, but at the same time, he's so distant. He's not like a singer, because if you're listening to a record, the singer is not there, but a part of him is there. His voice is there, a physical part. An actor, if you're watching him in the cinema, his reflection is there, but the author is is invisible in a way. We see him through this mechanism, through this machine called book, that creates such a distance. But then the person exists. That's something that might be incredible to some. But the actual person exists. And Saramago, in 2001, I had this clash between this mythological figure that became real. And since then, and for me, actually I was in London when he passed away, in June, I believe. And for me, today, the role that he had in my life is completely marked by these 9 years in which I knew him as a person. Not that his books lost any of the importance that they had to me, but for me it was amazing by a great number of reasons to meet him personally and to know that he was reading the things that I was writing, and to know that he was attentive to what I was writing. And but regarding your question, I don't think also that in Portugal people feel that way, in the sense that, for a start, I don't think that people know in Portugal how big Saramago is abroad. Of course, we know that Saramago was the first author ever from all Portuguese-speaking countries to get a Nobel Prize, and the only so far. And that's saying a lot, because Portuguese is spoken by 200 million people worldwide, most of them in Brazil. And there have been so many amazing writers writing in Portuguese, not only Portuguese, but namely Brazilian and from African-speaking countries, that also never reached such international status as Saramago. But I believe that if there, did you say, have you said a void
Or a vacuum.
A vacuum. We don't feel that vacuum in Portuguese literature, actually, because Portuguese literature is nowadays vibrant with new novelists publishing and being recognized. For me, it's a bit embarrassing to hear my name as someone who is more, how can I put this, more more mentioned or more, which word did you use? I want to use your word.
Which word? I don't know which word you're referring to, but yes, people speak of
a few
names.
Because of, I know that in Portugal there are other people my age publishing and being recognized, if not internationally. That has to do also with the fact it's not easy to be translated, to cross these frontiers, especially with it, with the English language, in which there are not many foreign books being translated. We know that only about 3% of all published books in England are translations. And that's a percentage that is totally different in most European countries. If we see like in Portugal, in France, in Germany, it sometimes it's more than 50% of all published books. Of course, I know that then there is USA, there is Australia, India, South Africa, Canada that are writing in English. But still, I think it would be good for English readers to have more international authors being published. So that's why I answered so many questions only asked one.
Of course, but I'll ask you one question you haven't answered, which is one that I haven't asked yet, which is something that you've done, which is uncommon among writers of any kind of persuasion, which is you released a short stories collection as part of an album by the heavy metal band Moonspell.
Yeah.
Which is very unusual.
Yeah.
Tell us about that before we...
Yeah, it was very unusual and very... and lots of fun. In 2003, well, there is this band called Moonspell, which is a heavy metal Portuguese band, a Portuguese heavy metal band, who are the biggest Portuguese heavy metal band. And actually I met their singer, when he presented his first poetry book. That talks also about poetry in Portugal. Almost every novelist in Portugal has published poetry, and I believe poetry is still very alive there. But I met him then. I was already a fan of their work. I've been listening to heavy metal most my life, and we got to the conclusion that we shared a lot of ideas regarding art. Not only he, as a heavy metal singer, liked and wrote poetry, but also me as a novelist and poet liked heavy metal. And then at the same time, we noticed that we were born within a distance of 9 days. And that in Portugal means a lot, because I was born in September 1974. He was born in the end of August 1974. And 1974 is such an important year in Portugal. And this is actually important, because in 74, that's the year of the revolution in April. That's the end of a dictatorship. In April 74, there was the revolution, which ended the dictatorship of almost 50 years. And I have a feeling that there is a generation marked by that. And this generation, and that is important even in literary terms, in terms of history of Portuguese literature, is marked by the fact that we didn't leave the dictatorship. We were born after the dictatorship. And we share a number of things. We noticed that, me and Fernando, the singer of Moonspell. And then we got to the conclusion that we wanted to do something, but we didn't want to do something, a cliche, something that had already been done. I didn't want to write their lyrics. They didn't want to do songs over the books that I already had. So we decided to do something completely new. So I started to write short stories based on three songs that they were working on. And those short stories are related not only with the lyrics, but also with the environment, with the intentions behind the construction of those songs. And I started to write other short stories related to those first three. And then the songs they did were also related to the short stories that I was writing. And in the end, we had 10 songs and 10 short stories that shared the titles. They have the same titles. And one book and one CD that have the same title also. They're called both Antidote. And it was very nice. I did a great number of things that I never imagined that I would do because of that. Like a reading before, as the first part of an heavy metal concert, which is something very interesting. And whenever there are things, whenever people invite me to do things that I believe that I will never have the chance of doing them again in my life, I accept. Usually. And that takes me to all kinds of places, as you can imagine.
Yes. We're kind of out of time, but thank you all very much. Thank you for coming.
No, it was a pleasure.